One of the things that has been a theme throughout this last quarter of the year for us as New Life, we've been going through the Truth Project on Wednesday nights, and it's really been a life-changing experience for my wife and I, as well as I think anybody that's attending. I mean, it's just tremendous. It causes us to look at some things, and I felt like the last 8 weeks of the year, we would talk about the celebration that we're entering. If you were in my house, we started celebrating November 1st.
I hear you.
We've had Christmas music from November 1st all the way till now. I know every Christmas, there's only 8 Christmas songs and they keep recycling them. 2,000 people sing 8 songs and they just keep. How many know that? Come on, somebody. How many know that? And so anyway, I'm just jabbing my wife. But I thought we'd talk about this entry of God's culmination of history will not happen when Jesus comes. It's not the culmination of history. The culmination of history actually happened at the resurrection. It's finished. Jesus said it's finished. Even before he telegraphed 3 days before the happening, it is finished. How many know everything that happens after that has already been planned? Yes. So usually we look at the Christmas celebration from a perspective of the people that were part of the birth of Christ. And, you know, I like to look at where Mary was, a young 14-year-old girl minding her own business, getting ready to get married to a wonderful man. And an angel has the temerity to show up in her room and say, "You're going to have a baby." How many know? That would shake up a 30-year-old. Yes. A 14-year-old. Come on, somebody. Like kind of like Sarah at 90 years old. "You're going to have a baby." I don't think so. I don't think so. And Joseph and Zacharias and Elizabeth. Herod. The wise man. But I want to look at it from perspective of God, because God, if he could be excited, I believe God was excited to bring us truth. As a matter of fact, we learned in the Truth Project, John 18:37. You'll read it up there. It's a little small. If you want to look in your Bible, John 18:37. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Father, I pray this morning for a revelation of your truth in our lives. Lord, that we wouldn't hope that we hear you, but we would know that we hear you. Lord, that we wouldn't hope that we follow you, but that we would follow you. Lord, I come against doubt and unbelief, and I pray for a demonstration of your truth this morning that would invade our lives and move us off whatever square we've been on, advancing us towards your promises. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want us to look closely. I don't know how far we'll get this morning, but I want you to closely look at this, what Jesus said. Because one of the things that we know about Jesus, he never wasted his word. He never said something to gain favor. There was nothing in him to say, "I want to get people to like me, so I'm going to say things that they'll like me for." What he stated was truth. Matter of fact, we're going to talk about it in a minute. He was the embodiment of truth. Amen. When he walked the earth, he said, "I am the truth." Truth has a face, and that's Jesus Christ. And he says this awesome statement to us, to you and me this morning. He said, "Whoever is of the truth." Now, you are the only one that knows if you're a born-again Christian, if your life has been changed by Jesus Christ. And if it has, you hear his voice. Oh, come on, somebody. Man, if that doesn't give you chills. I got goosebumps on my goosebumps. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And we have many, 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 many voices today that are trying to drown out the voice of Jesus. There are multitudes of voices. They're trying to tell us you can't hear God. What God said is not true. And you're definitely out of it. You can't hear Him. He's not answering your prayer. He doesn't care about you. Come on, somebody. Jesus spoke to that to put to death those things so that we could hear His voice. Listen to what He says. Turn with me to John chapter 8, verse 44. John 8, 44. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He's talking to the religious people of the day, by the way. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. At the same time that you're receiving the revelation that you hear his voice, you've got to rebuke the devil that tells you you don't hear his voice. Because you better believe, for truth to be revealed to you, you're going to have to do some warfare. You think you're going to get out of the warfare, you've got another thing coming. Come on, somebody. It's sober, see? Sobering time that we live in. It's not that we're asking God for something He's not willing to give. He says, whoever is of the truth hears my voice. But, the devil is working overtime to say, you don't hear his voice. He's a liar and the father of it. Truth was demonstrated first in the garden, where God shared with his creation the truth of the ages. He welcomed them to the tree of life and forbade them to go to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We know the devastating results. Can you imagine walking? We talked about this. Walking with God in the cool of the evening. Hearing His voice. Hearing Him speak to you as a man speaks to a man. A man speaks to, we share with each other. Can you imagine walking with God every day in the cool of the evening? God says, let's take a walk. How was your day? Come on, somebody. What a wonderful thing. Do you think you'd listen to anybody else if God walked beside you? Better think again. Adam and Eve had it all. They had it all. Communion with God. Hear His voice. Not only hear his voice, but whatever form he was in, he'd walk with them in the cool of the evening and they'd talk to each other. Nobody knows how long that happened, but it was a long time. And just one encounter with the enemy, and it was all ruined. Come on, somebody. Come on. Think about it. God, we absolutely need to receive your truth. And God says, I am speaking truth and you hear me because you're of the truth. There are devastating results. What we see clearly is the rejection of truth. The perfect human being, Eve, stood at the tree of knowledge of good and evil and had three temptations. The lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. If truth is to be revealed and to grasp and to walk in that truth, we've got to do the warfare. We've got to do the work. 1 John chapter 2 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now turn to Genesis chapter 3 and look with me. These three things are what fights us every day. You're out of bed in the morning, You're going to fight these because the enemy is faithful to bring the attacks. But we are not without the information against the enemy. Whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loose in heaven. Come on, somebody. But that's just for a few people. I've got to call the Elijah list and get a prophet to prophesy over him. No, that's for you as a believer. If you're a believer, you hear the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you
free.
Come on, somebody. Watch in Genesis 3, verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Devastating results of the encounter, one encounter with the enemy, destroyed forever their stance with God till the cross. Come on, somebody. She saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the flesh. Lust takes, love gives. Many Christians operate in the spirit of lust. Gimme, 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 my name is Jimmy, I'll take all you can give me. Or like a leech. Solomon said in Proverbs, the leech is never has enough. Give, 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 never has enough. Give me, give me, give me. Come on, somebody. Be satisfied with what you have. That's truth. Are you with me? This truth being revealed to us gives us great responsibility. She saw that it was pleasant to the eyes. How many know we have wandering eyes? We look, we want what we can't have most of the time. And it's a tree desirable to make one wise. Boy, we want to be, as I said, we live in a society that everybody's got an answer. It's right here at our fingertips. If I don't have it, it used to be you'd feel dumb because you didn't have an answer. Now all you got to do is click, 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 you got an answer. Yeah, I know what that is. Here's what it is. Come on, somebody. The truth needed to be restored to mankind, but that truth could not be introduced by Isaiah, Elijah, Moses, Noah. Had the truth been presented by anyone else, when Jesus revealed, had it been presented by anyone else with all the miracles, signs, and wonders rolled in, it would have been no different than the law of Moses. It would have been no different. We'd have been right at the same place as we were before the birth of Christ. But at the birth of Christ, truth was revealed forever because it was presented by the perfect man. Come on, somebody. Mount Sinai, Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments and the law of God, and that revealed God's character, but people couldn't do much about it. Come on, someone. And then the Mount of Transfiguration, when Peter, James, and John were up on the mountain, they saw Elijah and Moses. That's where the three got together, and Jesus said, I got this covered, man. I fulfilled all righteousness, I fulfilled all the law, and I fulfilled every prophecy. You've heard me say, the chance of one person fulfilling all the prophecies of the Old Testament is one with one and 100 zeros afterwards. Only one person could. Come on. And the next mountain that we see is Golgotha. On the mountain of Golgotha, when Jesus gave his own life. Couldn't happen with anybody else, because everybody else was men just like you and I, but it happened with Christ. The mountain where all of the plans of God were seen, verified, and accomplished. It was an act of love. He became our propitiation. He took our place. Aren't you glad? It was an act of love. It was an act of service. He was the sacrificial lamb. For this cause I came into the world. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. It was an act of leadership. He was our king. Not only was he the lamb that was slain, but he was the king to receive the slain. Come on, somebody. Not only was it an act of service and an act of leadership, it was an act of war. Our warrior declared war on the enemy and won. Forever defeated the enemy. This truth had to be demonstrated, not pointed to. The Old Testament pointed to the truth. The old law pointed to the truth. But it could never be finished. The law pointed to the truth and was good because it led us to the truth. Galatians 3:24 says, but when the fullness of time had come, Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Come on, somebody. God came to receive us. It was a perfect Jesus that came. He had two natures in him. It's called the hypostatic union. 100% God and 100% man. He wasn't 50% anything. He wasn't a half God, half man. He was fully God and fully man. Come on, somebody. The miracle. Noah couldn't do it. Moses couldn't do it. Elijah couldn't do it. There was no man born of a woman on this earth that had the blood flowing through him from his parents could ever be the perfect sacrifice. But the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. It was genius. And he came as a flesh human being. Many try to make his childhood like something miraculous. He was raised just like any other child. Come on, somebody. You know, the Catholics would have us to believe he cast demons out of his friends and, you know, somebody died on the playground and he raised them from the dead and all kinds of gobbledygook. None of that happened. He was raised in the obedience to his parents. Come on, somebody. The law pointed us to the truth and was good. It became our tutor to bring us to Christ. Galatians 3:24 says, therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. The law was God speaking the truth. Christ was the embodiment of that truth. We find ourselves in a generation that is majoring on rewriting historical facts to fit their agenda. Our founding fathers were a bunch of crooks that stole this nation from a people. They've rewritten history for us. Many of the generation that's coming up will never hear the true story of the founding of this nation. Come on, somebody. And so it is with the Word of God. The Word of God is not an exception. It's been attacked. Galatians 4:4 says, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. God redeemed us with the truth born in the flesh. Christ, the God-man, came to be a perfect sacrifice. Both the sacrifice and the presenter of that sacrifice. So I want to go through 4 points about this truth that was demonstrated by God. Number one, God is the only true God. There are many that are called God, but just one true God. 1 Thessalonians 1:9 says, "For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." The Old Testament states it as well. Jeremiah 10:10 says, "But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At His wrath the earth will tremble, and the nations will not be able to endure His indignation." That day has not come, but it's coming quick. We sit on the precipice of the end of all things. It's imperative that we believe that He is the one true God. Scripture says, if you can't run with the footmen, how are you going to keep up with the horses? And we think it's bad now. It ain't nothing like it's going to be. Let me remind you that in the end times, lying signs and wonders will happen. It's already started to happen in bits and pieces. But the enemy will be given power to have lying signs and wonders take many. If it were not for the elect, if it were not for God, even the elect would fall. If we can't run now, what's it going to be whenever things start to happen? We've got to have the mind of Christ. We've got to know we're hearing the truth. All those who are of the truth hear my voice, Jesus said. He's revealing His truth. He came, He sent His Son to be born of a virgin in this time. For what? To call us to truth. Jesus said, "I came to show the truth." Jeremiah 10:10, "But the Lord is the true God." John 17:3, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." People are trying to piecemeal God. They're trying to sliver Him up, cut Him up. He doesn't, well, that's not what He meant, and that's not what He said. And the Word of God is to be discerned differently because we're in the 21st century. Hillary Clinton said that the Christian needed to move into the 21st century. My first thought was, Hillary, you need to move back to the first century. Literally, that would be good. See, Jesus has been revealed. The truth has been revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. John 1:14 states that He was full of grace and truth. Jesus alone disclosed the truth of heaven here on earth. John 1:14 says that He was full of grace and truth. We have not been without the truth on this earth for over 2,000 years. When Jesus came to reveal the truth, He left the truth with us. How many knows He didn't go back to heaven and say, "Pray and maybe I'll give you the truth." The truth is with us right now in the form of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is with us, and He'll reveal. Matter of fact, Jesus gave Him the title as the Spirit of Truth. Now, this is not an exercise in futility. When we ask for the truth is ours. Come on, somebody. People amaze me. I talk to people all the time. Well, I'm not sure what God's will is. Well, what are you doing? Stop until you find the will of God. It's a sad thing to be a Christian and not know what God wants for your life. I'm not trying to berate you or browbeat you. You've been, maybe that same thing that happened to Eve at the tree of knowledge of good and evil has happened to you. You've gotten to a place where you say, "I don't know the truth. I don't know that God is going to answer my prayer. I don't know." And I'm here to tell you the truth is here. Spirit of truth. So it comes down to, if you know the truth and don't do it, how many know? You're in rebellion. Just saying. I'm not trying to point the finger at it. Somebody says you point the finger at somebody, there's three fingers pointing back at you. Really, God took all the guesswork out of it. Prior to the birth of Christ, it was all guesswork. Come on, somebody. God had us covered. You know, one day, a year at the Day of Atonement, all the sins of the people were taken into the holy place. The blood was sprinkled, and it was blanket forgiveness. Come on, somebody. And I'm glad God forgives. Aren't you glad God forgives? Whew. I'm glad He forgives. How many know He wants to give us the truth so we don't need to ask forgiveness? We walk in His truth. But the enemy has berated and browbeat us long enough where I see Christians every day that are apologetic that they're walking in the truth. We've even been accused by those that are lost that don't know it, that we hate people, that we're liars, that we've misquoted the word, that we don't like people, that we hope people go to hell. None of us, I hope, ever believe that. But we've reached a place where the church has apologized for the truth so much, we've watered it down. Like my mother with vegetable soup. And she used to make vegetable soup, and that first round is what you wanted to eat, because she'd water that puppy down till it was just about nothing but a few potatoes and carrots and a bunch of water. Come on, somebody. We've watered down the word so much that we're apologetic with a couple encounters with the enemy, we give up. Maybe in our personal life, we give up. And he says, has God really said? No, I'll go it this way. This is the easy way. This is a shortcut. It's like this week I read in China, they did a marathon, and 150 people were caught cheating in the marathon. There was like 2,000 running. 150 were taking shortcuts. They were watching from one of those, what do they call those? Drones. Watching from a drone. And they ran across through trees, through the park. And cut like 3 or 4 miles off their time. China. They have all kinds of problems with China. I saw another aerial view of a traffic jam in China. There were 50 lanes on this highway coming out of Shenzhen. 50-lane highway. Can you imagine? And the traffic jam lasted 3.5 days. They had to send rescue people out for people that needed pills, and they sent food trucks out to feed people. I don't know how I got on that, but anyway. Because when I lived in Philadelphia, we knew what traffic jams were. It's so nice to be in Rochester. Traffic jam in Rochester is 3 people at a stoplight. About it. God is the one and only true God. And He has definitely given us truth. Secondly, God is a God of complete integrity. The Bible calls Him the fountain of truth. He's not going to tell us something that we need to hear just to manipulate us. God's not going to tease us. He doesn't have a carrot on a stick. What He says is true. He's integrous. There is no untruth in Him. He is true in His actions, He's true in His words, and He's true in His being. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said, and will He not do? Or has He spoken, and will He not make it good? There's no characteristic of God that says, I'll say it, then I won't do it. I just was kidding. We go to God and God says, I was just fooling you. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. This truth that he came to reveal in the birth of his Son was truth that was left on this earth. We have truth available to us. All we need to do is ask. Sometimes, if you can hear me, those of you who have been walking with the Lord for a while, you don't even need to ask. You know what the truth is. Those old cartoons with the little angel on your one shoulder and the little devil on the other shoulder. You want to do this. This is a good thing. You don't want to do that. It's not a good thing. Or you want to do this. Don't do it. How many are sorry you listened to this guy?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
We say, well, man, I just came out of a time of prayer and fasting. I just came out of a time of seeking God. I just came out of, man, I am 10 foot tall and bulletproof. And all of a sudden, you know, and all of a sudden we're going down that path. Of all the revelation, of all the anointing, of all the things that happen from God, and we hear one little voice of the enemy, and we go, man, that's the way to go. Cut through the trees. Cut 3 miles off this marathon I've been running. He is a God of complete integrity. Romans 3:4 says, certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, and every man a liar. And God is not only a God of integrity, He calls us to integrity. See, at the same time we hear truth, we are to have no deceit or hypocrisy, no carelessness of words or exaggeration of facts. This is not something we can round up to the nearest hundreds, you know. We're to be people of integrity. Matthew 5:37 says, let your yes be yes and your no, no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. I swear. No slander, no gossip, or bearing false witness. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Who's part of the church? Come on, every hand better be up, or I'll be come back lay hands on you. Who's part of the church? And you're part of the pillar and the ground of the truth. And we speak truth. Come on, somebody. God's been dealing with me about that for the last 3 or 4 years. The presence of truth is not the absence of love. I've been put in a place, pray for me. I've been once every 3 months or so, I write an article for the A View from the Pulpit. It's a local article here. And what God's having me write for this Friday, just pray. Because I believe we've come to a time where we need to get militant. Is that all right to say?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm amongst friends. Can I just say, we just need to be militant. Not hateful. Not demanding, just militant. We need to speak the truth. Wherever the chips fall, they fall.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Yeah. Church is like, you know, there's a big pothole. Instead of fixing the pothole, we put a tarp over it. So people don't know it's there, you know. How many know? Sometimes it's like the state does that. They fix it, but it doesn't stay fixed. It's like a tarp. But I digress. We speak the truth. We are the pillar and the ground of the truth. Thirdly, God is a God of dependability. Nature upholds His truth. His Word is true and He is reliable. If you don't think He's reliable, look outside. He's got it taken care of. I look outside, I look up in the heavens, there's no stars colliding with each other. There's no planets colliding with each other. Nothing's falling out of the sky. Everything is, I'm able to breathe in and breathe out. He's got the perfect mix of nitrogen and oxygen so I could breathe. I'm sorry? There is more nitrogen. There you go. She knows. But God's got that all taken care of. I don't think about it. I breathe in and out. If you don't think He's dependable, look around you. He's dependable. He's proven Himself time and time and time again. Not only do we know what things are going to be like today, we can even check with instruments about what's going to be like 10 years from now. What time the sun is going to rise, what time the sun is going to set. God is dependable. It shows in His nature. And look, He plays no favorites. Nothing about His plan is faulty. It is perfect in every way. He will never break covenant and never break His word. He plays no favorites. His words will work in everyone's life. This truth that was revealed to you and I, the reliability shows over the centuries and the testimonies of those who have gone before us. And He's faithful to receive those and to also let us know that what we ask, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. Come on, somebody. He is dependable. I can count on Him. Not only is He dependable, but my friend, we need to have practice daily what God wants us to do. We need to practice it daily. He will never leave or forsake. Don't leave the house until you're sure of His faithfulness. Don't speak of the devil like he is God. He is the father of lies. There is no truth in Him. When you hear things that are not of God, you know it. The Holy Spirit puts you in check. Immediately bind the enemy. Don't buy it. Don't entertain it. Don't walk down that path. It's just like Eve reaching for that fruit. There had to be 10,000 things going off in her head when she reached for that piece of fruit. Don't do this. Don't do this. You know the truth. But they believed the lie instead of the truth. Come on, somebody. I wish it would have been a banana instead of an apple. While she was peeling it, she'd have had second thoughts. It's an attempt at humor, I'm sorry. God is faithful. Nothing about His plan is faulty. It's perfect in every way. And if His plan covers the earth, if His plan covers the universe, and all these planets and stars and things and sunrise and sunset and all the other deals are taking place, and it's been consistent for thousands of years, what makes you think He can't take care of your life? Man, it's nothing to Him. Sure, I can do that. What do you want? Ask, and it shall be given. Why? Because we're purveyors of the truth. We're receivers of the truth. We're progenitors of the truth. We speak truth and it comes to pass. It was established before creation and is a stabilizer in our relationship with God. The truth that is constant, it's unchanging, consistent, convicting, even active now. When we speak, heaven listens and hell trembles. Don't give the devil any line at all. Draw the line in the sand. Draw the line in the sand. This is it. God came to reveal truth to me, and I'm going to walk in His truth. I'm going to be a fountain of truth like my Father. I'm going to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. I'm not going to buy the lie. I find myself fighting it on every level. I'm getting older, so my body's... How many know when you get older, your body talks to you? How many older people say yes and amen? Your fingers didn't have a voice until now. Come on, someone. I'm out working the other day and I got gloves on and my fingers are cold. And this one finger just gets cold. So cold. I don't even want to get into it, but I believe the truth. The lie of this finger. Small thing. You say, well, that's ridiculous. Just put up with it. No, I'm not going to put up with it. Because the truth is, I'm healthy. I've got the spirit of health in me. Come on, someone. So I fight those. Because if I buy that lie, give the enemy an inch, he'll take your life. Are you there? I don't have to put up with the things the world's putting up with. Shame on them. That's too bad. God's revealing himself to them. And although I love them, I want to see them saved. It's too bad if you don't, you know, you have freedom of choice, but you don't have freedom of consequence. Same truth is being revealed to you. It's if you know the truth and let it make you free. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't give the devil any kind of... He's the liar and the father of... Everything you hear outside of God is a lie. Period. I don't buy any info unless it's proven to me by the Holy Spirit. The longer I walk with God, the longer it takes for me to make major decisions. Because I need to hear from the Lord. And there's all kinds of voices that tell me I am. I've been down that path a few times. I don't like it. It's like driving and getting lost. I don't like being lost. How many like being? I don't like being lost. I want to know where I am. And so we are with our Father. The truth revealed and demonstrated by the Lord himself. Next week, we're going to talk about the truth being witnessed, various incidences that happen around the birth of Christ where plain folk like you and I witnessed the truth that they had to sit on for 30 years. Kind of like some of us have been waiting a long time. Waiting a long time to see the signs, wonders, and miracles that'll captivate a generation. It's coming very soon. So Father, we pray this morning. We thank you for answering our prayer. We thank you, God. We took communion this morning and we asked those things we believe that we have received. Father, we thank you. I expect to hear from my children today. Lord, I expect that things are going to happen because I've released my faith to that area. Lord, I pray that for my brothers and sisters as well. Thank you for coming and revealing the truth to us, God. Thank you, Lord, that you left the truth in the embodiment of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you for residing in me, residing in my brothers and sisters, that we might walk in you, the Spirit of truth, receiving everything that you have for us. God, I pray for each and every one here that you would meet and exceed their expectations. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.